All right. We're going to go ahead and jump into the Word. We've been talking the last few times together about ways we can know God's will. And we talked about the Holy Scriptures. You know, when you're talking about what God's will with you for you in any situation, you need to make sure it squares with the Word. If it goes against the Word, then it's not going to be His will. And then we talked about not only the Holy Scriptures, but the Holy Spirit. He guides us into all truth. He's the author of the Scripture. He always knows the mind of God because He is the Spirit of God. And so He will always bear witness with the truth and what the will of God is for your life. So you have the Holy Scriptures, you have the Holy Spirit. And then we talked about the counsel of the saints. You know, sometimes the counsel of other people God will use in our life. As a matter of fact, in ancient Israel, there was a wisdom upon a tribe, the tribe of Issachar. The sons of Issachar were wise concerning the times, and they knew what Israel should do. In other words, they were able to discern what the will of God is. And sometimes God will use other people in our lives. And remember, you always go back to, is what they're sharing with me, does it square with the Word? And what's being shared with me by this person, does my spirit bear witness with what's being said? So we always want the Scriptures and the Holy Spirit to lead the way. And God may work through the Scriptures in someone else's life, the Holy Spirit in someone else's life, to help you know what His will for you is. And then yesterday we talked about how that our personal revelatory encounters with God, primarily visions and dreams, God can use those to let us know His will. And we saw in the book of Acts where Paul was forbidden by the Holy Spirit to go one way and then stopped another way. And then as he was seeking what he should do, during the night, one night, he had a vision of a man in Macedonia saying, come over to us. And so he knew that was the Lord. And that vision was used of the Lord to give direction to Paul in his missionary endeavors. Today, we're going to step into another area, and that's really important as believers, that sometimes God will use spiritual leaders to help us to know what His will is. Now, this kind of goes along with the counsel of the saints I talked about earlier. But more specifically, whoever the Lord has led you to receive from, to serve under in the sense of spiritual leaders that God has entrusted in local congregations. And, you know, we hear terms like elders, deacons, bishops, pastors, and so forth. And then there's fivefold ministry, apostolic, the prophetic, the evangelistic, pastoral, and teaching. These are levels of authorization some people are given. They've been called by the Lord to serve in these ways. And sometimes God will move through them to help confirm what His will for your life is in a certain situation. Now, again, when I share things like this, remember, always go back to the first two I shared. Is what they're sharing, is what I'm being taught, is it consistent with Scripture? Does the Holy Spirit within me bear witness with this? And I, as a pastor, as a spiritual leader, I try to be really careful to share any type of directional word in a way that honors the Holy Spirit in my brother or sister's life and encourage them to seek the Lord, because we believe in the priesthood of all believers. That is, you as a believer, you have direct access to God. And I would never see the call on my life to get in between someone in the Lord in any way to cause them to look to me instead of the Lord. But having said that, whether it's me or you, as a believer, God can sometimes speak to us through us for someone else. And again, their spirit should bear witness with that, and it should be consistent with the Scripture. Okay? But spiritual leaders, listen to the Scripture in Hebrews 13. Verse 17, obey your leaders and submit to their authority. They keep watch over you as men who must give an account. obey them so that their work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no advantage to you. So this is one of those scriptures that speaks of the fact that we align under spiritual leaders, and not only spiritual leaders, but I'll use a broader term, spiritual authorities, or even broader than that, the authorities that are a part of our life. And sometimes that may be authorities that are not Christian authorities. In other words, like civic authorities, governmental authorities. You may have governmental leaders that are not Christian, but the Bible says, submit yourself to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. The exception would be if you are being commanded in some way to obey man as opposed to God, or you are being told, for instance, the example we have in the early church, they were commanded to preach no more in the name of Jesus. You know, if there was some type of law passed that would forbid us to preach in the name of Jesus, then civil disobedience would be called for. In other words, though the law may say this, I still have to honor the lordship of Jesus in my life. But when Peter wrote about submitting ourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, it's talking about the general laws that we abide by. And Paul taught in Romans 13 that the authorities that be, they're ordained of God. And he goes on to talk about those that bear the sword, do it as ministers of justice. And there again, he's talking about civil authorities that God puts in place in order that people may live a quiet and peaceable life. That's what Paul says, that we're to pray for kings and all those in authority, that we might live a quiet and peaceable life. And so there is a place for us to honor authority. And in a culture, I would even say to you, it's so important that in our culture that we raise our children to have a respect for authorities, whether that's a police officer, a school teacher, and certainly in the home, our children need to be taught to obey their parents when they go to school, to obey their teachers. When they're out in public, to obey the authorities that are out there. That's important. And that enables us to live a quiet and peaceable life. And again, the exception would be if for instance, the church was forbidden to preach or to worship anymore. Now, I know we're in a season where there's been some guidelines imposed, and I'm speaking as a citizen here in the state of Alabama. We've had guidelines that have been put in place in our churches, but we haven't been told we could not worship. We have not been told we could not sing. We have not been told we cannot preach. We have not been told we can't have Bible study and so forth. Just some guidelines to abide by so that when we do come together in the public setting, there's a safer environment because of the virus that's been going on. And so we've tried to keep to toe the line on that as much as we can. And for instance, at our church where we go, we wear a mask until we're seated, and then, you know, we worship. And we have kind of the spaced off, every other aisle is spaced off. So we've tried to abide by that in order to be good examples of what the scripture teaches and also provide a safe context for people. And yes, it requires for all of us to be mutually submissive for the sake of our neighbor, for our brothers and our sisters. And hopefully that's about to change. I do believe it's getting better, and we thank God for that. But that's sometimes God's will is made known to us through our spiritual leaders. I know at different times as a pastor, I have, where I'm pastor now, we have what we call some apostolic advisors. We have three of them. And if there are situations that we need counsel, when I say we have a elder form of church government. And as a senior leader, I'm running point in that group. And we get together, we seek God's will about direction for the church and so forth. And the scripture tells us that God works in that way. Now, let me give you some examples. In the early church, you're talking about being in a time when you had to be flexible and be willing to change. Wow, the early church was in a context probably far beyond anything we've known. And I say that from this angle. They were Jewish people who had been raised under the law of Moses. They had the Old Testament, but now through the teaching of Jesus and through the apostolic teaching, that is the teaching of the apostles to the early church, things were changing. The door was open to the Gentiles. And it's like, wait a minute, we've always been taught this. We've been taught you had to be circumcised to be part of God's people. We could not eat meat unless the blood was drained out of it. We couldn't, you know, certain things. And it grew, the friction grew to a point that they had a council, what we call the Jerusalem Conference or Council. And we read about that in Acts chapter 15, where the apostles came together and the elders there in Jerusalem, they came together and seeking, they heard the testimonies, and they heard the testimonies of what God was doing. They heard the testimony of the apostles, and Paul shared, then Peter stood up and shared the testimony of the vision he had. That's all recorded in Acts 10. His encounter at the household of Cornelius and how the Holy Spirit was poured out on the household of Cornelius, just as the Holy Spirit had been poured out onto those 120 Jewish believers on the day of Pentecost. And so through that, they convened and they said, it seems good to the Holy Spirit and to us. You know, in other words, they recognize that God is opening the door to the Gentiles, and they, in order to have peace and to make the two groups, if you would, be able to integrate more easily, they asked the Gentiles to, you know, abstain from any type of sexual immorality, and if the blood sacrifice, the meat, you know, stay away from that. And, but basically you don't have to be circumcised, and you don't have to follow the works of the law to have good standing. And that's where the message of grace has come in, and the new covenant became established, which Jesus established it through the shedding of his blood. But the revelation of all that it would mean kind of unfolded apostolically through the teaching that the Holy Spirit moved upon those writers of the New Testament gospels and epistles that we have. And so you see there how God was working through spiritual leaders in the early church for the people to know what the will of God was. And of course, those were some heavy duty issues, some epoch seasons of change. But today in our lives, there are times that God will give counsel. There's been times in my life when I've received counsel from a fellow pastor or one of our apostolic advisors. And it's like, you know, I'm not sure this way or that way, and I hear counsel and it really bears witness. Yes. Now I have confidence that this is the will of God. It's consistent with Scripture. The Holy Spirit bears witness, and our elders practice that as we come together. If one does not have peace, we pray about it, we talk about it, and we are able to get to a place of agreement. And that's important for us to have. It says obey and submit. Now, I think those who are in authorities, we shouldn't lord it over. I think sometimes people can get into witchcraft with this if you're not careful. You know, it's witchcraft when intimidation is used, when manipulation is used, and domination is the key. In other words, I'm going to control this situation. I'm going to manipulate this situation. I'm going to throw my weight. I'm going to dominate. Now, you can get in a wrong spirit. Sometimes you may even be right on an issue, but you're handling it wrongly, and that muddies the water. So we who are spiritual authorities have to maintain an attitude of humility. It's so important. It's important to seek the counsel of the Holy Spirit. Again, corporately with other leaders, you see in Acts 13, when Paul and Barnabas was sent out, the prophets and there's apostles and prophets and leaders are together, and they're praying, and the Holy Spirit began to speak. And they felt confident. This is God's will. And Paul and Barnabas, they set out on that first missionary journey. God confirmed it in their hearts, but he used spiritual leaders surrounding them to help solidify that direction, what God's will is. So it's very, very important. And again, we just have to guard, those who are in authority need to guard their heart, that we use our authority in a way that's in love, but yet firmly if we have to, because not every hill's worth dying on. Some things, this grace that covers things, love covers a multitude of sins. If we have the attitude God's called us to be the sin police in everybody's life, and we're kind of saying, Holy Spirit, get out of the way, I'll handle this. No, we trust the Holy Spirit. But we do use the word, and we do try to lead and correct and guide as spiritual leaders. And the scripture says we will carry a more strict judgment because of that. And so spiritual leaders, the teaching of scripture is sometimes God will reveal his will through human authorities. And we submit unless we're, again, being asked to do something that we know the Lord has commanded us that we're to do. Like Peter said, whether it's right for us to obey God or man, you can deal with that, but we're going to do what the Lord's called us to do. But they were willing to go to jail for it too and took a beating for it. So, this is important. And notice that by being submissive and obedient to spiritual authorities, there's a joy in the work of the ministry instead of a burden being placed on those leaders. We can get into rebellion, and we can get into disobedience sometimes. There's that Old Testament story of God's people. It says, and everyone did what was right in their own eyes. That's the recipe for chaos and rebellion. When people start saying things, well, I know the Bible says this, but, or I know our elders are saying this, but, or I know my pastor says this, or our church is going this way, but I think you need to be careful with that, dear friend, because it can create a burden upon the people of God instead of it being a joy when you come together. And also, it's usurping authority. Authority is something that's delegated from the Lord. And God will do, each servant answers to their own master. And again, we're all priests unto the Lord. We can all hear the voice of the Lord. But, anyone that's been in the military will tell you that one of the things they quickly teach you to do is to obey the command of the leader. If you're out on the battlefield and your lieutenant says, duck, hit the ground. And you say, why are you telling me that? You might be too late. You just have to trust that they're telling you what you need to do it because it's best for the team. And it's that way in a lot of culture. I believe this has been a very difficult time for a lot of civic leaders during this last year. I know it's been for pastors. I've talked with some of them, and it's been difficult because, you have some people believing this and some people believing that, and then you want to honor your authorities. But pray for your leaders. Pray for your spiritual leaders. We're commanded by Scripture to pray for those who are in authority over us. I've already mentioned that, where Paul taught Timothy, to pray for those in authority that we might live a quiet and peaceable life. That doesn't mean we always like all the decisions that are being made. Doesn't mean that we shouldn't be praying that the Holy Spirit will move upon people to make godly decisions. We should be. But we need to all work together to live quiet and peaceable lives. And sometimes God will make his will known to us through the authorities in our life. Certainly true for parents with their children. And I think with employees, with their employers, and civic leaders, spiritual leaders, and so forth. So keep that in mind as well when you're thinking about how you can know God's will for your life. Amen. Well, tonight we'll be back at 6:30. We'll have communion and a brief time of teaching. I pray that you have a blessed day. We love you all. Amen.